This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Neville Abraham. How are you, Neville?
I'm very good, thank you, Chris. Nice to meet you.
Excellent, yes, no, nice. We're in central London where you used to be a famous restaurateur, or at least I think you had the first French cafe in London, is that right?
Yes, it was a bistro. Was pretty authentic. We had a partner in Paris that provided many of the ingredients, and it was very, very successful.
Nice. That was in Covent Garden, wasn't it?
In Covent Garden, next to the Opera House,
Before Covent Garden became trendy.
Yeah, before it became trendy, and it was in an old banana warehouse whose landlord didn't know what to do with the property.
What I want to talk about today is hospitality and training in hospitality. And last week, we sort of teased out that whilst people often in the food and beverage sector, anyway, the beverage sector in particular, can often get good product knowledge, they don't necessarily know how to run a business. And you were talking about things like wine lists being an area where people just aren't trained how to create a good wine list. As a result, you have worked with Westminster Kingsway to set up a level 4 in hospitality course.
Yeah.
I'd like to tease out a little bit about what that hospitality course covers and why it covers those things.
Yeah. Okay. Well, as you say, there are various levels, and we thought that level 4 was the right level to start because it's for people in the hospitality industry, in food and beverage, which is basically shorthand for front of house. Mm-hmm. And they're already in a supervisory position and looking to advance. Mm-hmm. We've had a very good response so far, and we're hoping to start the first course quite soon.
Okay. So level 4 is normally about a diploma level, so it's below a degree.
It's like first year of a degree.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not a university qualification, but it's higher than an A-level or a GCSE in the
Correct.
UK.
Correct, yeah.
So it's sort of left high school, but not quite university. So it's in that middle ground.
Yeah.
In the old days in New Zealand, we'd call that a polytechnic.
Okay.
Which is where people would go and get skills that weren't taught at high school, but below university.
I think that's where the shoe is pinching. That's where we actually need to develop people's skills.
Yeah. There are courses, for example, I know Bristol does a business and wine degree, actually, as opposed to a product course, which is what WSD is effectively. They're a deep product. They teach product rather than the business side of the business. Although they will say they do the business, but not really.
But yeah. I mean, is that a university degree?
Yes.
Obviously, they're a university and they've got to develop what they do. But this is very much for people already working in the hospitality industry to give them skills that they wouldn't normally get from their employer.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're doing an actual job, whether it's reception, whether it's waiting, whether it's running the bar or whatever. It's the other skills that you need to be able to run the whole operation that quite often employers either do not have the time or they do not have the structure to do because they're generally short-staffed and it's very easy to be blown off course. Whereas when this is an outside resource, it's harder to get out of it once you're in it.
I suppose also there's probably a lot of on-the-job training, so to speak.
That's entirely left to the employer.
Yeah.
What the Level 4 Food and Beverage Management Development Program is about is off-the-job training. Mm-hmm. So there's a workshop once a month on a particular subject. That subject might be financial control. It might be customer service. It might be IT. It might be reservation systems.
HR.
HR. There's a hell of a lot of things that you need some understanding of if you're going to run the whole operation. Mm-hmm. And the end product of this is that you are ready to run the whole restaurant or the whole whatever the hospitality outlet is.
Mm-hmm. So We said last week that a lot of people who enter the hospitality are not necessarily highly academic. If you're particularly academic, you'll probably end up going to uni and doing something. But if you're not academic and you're looking for a role in life, how can you make a course for people who aren't necessarily academic at quite a high level of you know, the level 4 diploma, post GCSEs, post A levels, but also below a degree level?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, you have to go back to the situation we have pertaining in most state schools in this country, where over a successive number of years, the budgets have been cut so that education is now a matter of just getting English and maths at GCSE. And one of the things I'm very interested in is the 40% or so of kids who don't like their maths teacher or don't like their English teacher and actually aren't very interested in passing GCSEs.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to them?
Yeah.
That, if you like, is the hinterland of the market for hospitality. It's considered to be a dirty job. It's considered to be unsocial hours. It's not very well paid. Why would anybody want to spend their career there? There's an image problem and there's a skills problem. But it doesn't mean to say that those people are stupid. They might be very good with their hands. They might have very outgoing personalities. They might be terrific in the hospitality industry and they could be earning $50,000 a year by the age of 35 if only they could be brought into it.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got high youth unemployment and we've got a shortage of thousands of jobs in hospitality.
Yes.
There's a complete mismatch.
Yes, yes. But that didn't answer the question, how do you teach something that is at level 4, which is technically quite academic, to a group of people who aren't academic?
You don't teach it academically.
Mm-hmm.
You teach it by participation and by meeting other people in the industry, and you learn from each other. And, you know, the workshops, where possible, are not held in a classroom. They're held in somebody else's place of work.
Mm-hmm.
So by entering this course, you get access to 12 other hospitality places and find out what's going on over there.
Yep.
So I'm pretty hopeful that this is going to be successful.
Okay. Let's say I'm a unemployed youth who didn't really like school because they were, you know, just didn't bother with it. And I'm thinking, all right, I want to join an industry where I've got a career path. Can you just walk us through how they might enter the industry and how they might, where they might land up, or some options about where you might land up?
Yeah. The first thing is you've really got to find an employer who knows what they're doing.
Yes.
As opposed to the shop around the corner that's just short of a pair of hands to do the washing up.
Yes.
I mean, you've got to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
The level 4 course is not for those people.
No, no.
Those people would have to have been in the industry, I would say, a minimum of 3 to 4 years.
Yep.
And shown some aptitude to be given some kind of responsibility and be hungry to learn and hungry to get on. This course is an agreement between the employer and the college. I'm just a facilitator encouraging this to happen. Yeah, you've got to start somewhere. And if you can start with an employer who knows what they're doing, then you're going to learn faster.
Mm, yes. I think there's certainly restaurants and hotels that are quite small and they're not really focused on training. And there's clearly some that are. So if you do want to make this your career, I presume the first thing you've got to do is identify an appropriate employer.
Yes, and this is quite interesting, Chris, because I am one of the last dinosaurs. I'm not au fait with the world of social media.
Mm-hmm.
So if you talk to an 18 or 19-year-old and you were to find somebody who was interested, their instinct is to go onto social media and see who's looking for people.
Yeah.
Whereas I prefer the old-fashioned way of saying, who would I like to work for who would look good on my CV, and walk into their establishment and say, here I am, I'm willing to do anything, what have you got for me? That was the old-fashioned way of finding a job, and I think it was quite a good way.
How would someone go about finding, are there signs, is there places that you can go to say, who are the best employers who will train me?
I don't think there is. I think you've got to ask around. If you looked at the Michelin Guide, or if you looked at Hardin's, or if you looked at the Good Food Guide, you'd soon find out in your area who are the people who are making waves.
Yes.
You've got to get off your backside and go and have a look at them, even if it's from the outside.
If a restaurant or a hotel is quite famous, does that mean that they're necessarily going to have the training or the support for staff in place?
I think if they're famous, they're famous for a reason. That means they've got a lot of customers. Perfectly good place to start.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be famous. It just has to be good.
Yes.
And how do you know whether it's good or not? Well, you've just got to ask around. I mean, in a locality, if you're talking about outside London, but even London is composed of a series of villages, it's not difficult to find out what are the best restaurants in Dalston or Shoreditch or the West End. Depends on where you live. You don't want to commute too late at night. So, you know, you've got to organize your life. I mean, it just seems to me that a lot of youngsters simply aren't capable of organizing their lives. And therefore, it would be really helpful if there was an accredited pathway for them to enter and be rewarded to a degree, to stick with it, and they come out at the other end. And we don't have that.
We don't have that. Okay. What's the actual course called?
It's called F&B Management Development Program.
Would you see that moving back down, so to a level 3, or moving up to a level 5?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, sure. Level 5 would be more...
Degree level.
Well, and also for people who are thinking of running more than one establishment.
Oh, yeah.
So like an operations manager, as opposed to a house manager.
Yep.
Level 4 is running the one operation.
Yep.
And level 3 would be running a department in the one operation. Yeah.
Okay. Ultimately, because one of the things that people often say is the pay's not great and the hours are antisocial. But if you put the work in and you're moving through the career path, what are the sort of roles that someone who has done your level 4 course might be aiming to move towards or preparing for? And do you have an idea of pay rates as well? Just as a, because I don't think it's all poorly paid. I think there are some very good roles in there.
There are. I mean, and many hospitality businesses come in different shapes and sizes, from the corner cafe to 250-seater restaurant to a restaurant on a cruise ship. You know, I was on holiday a couple of years ago in the Caribbean, and I was staying at one of these resorts. There were 3 restaurants on this resort, and one restaurant was run by a Greek, another one was run by a guy from Toronto, and another one was run by a guy from Wellington and New Zealand. And I just said to them, I mean, you're a long way from home. And they said, oh, yeah, but, you know, I'm doing the whole season here. The pay is very good. Don't have to pay very high rate of tax. And I'll go back home for the summer and get something over there. I mean, it's a passport. You will always, always be in demand if you can run a place with some charm and with some panache, as well as know what you're doing, be able to manage the staff and get on with the customers. For certain people, it's a terrific industry.
Mm.
It's not for everybody, but then nothing is for everybody.
One of the things in the UK is that if, for example, that idea of being not transient, but able to move around the world and do roles, a lot of nurses, for example, are like that.
You know, indeed.
If you're a qualified nurse in the UK, you can go to Australia, you can go to New Zealand, you can go all over the place, work, and that's great.
Yeah.
And if you're a overseas nurse, you can come into the UK and work in the UK because there's a shortage, and it's one of the shortage.
It's very
similar.
Very similar.
But for example, the government, no, they did change it, didn't they? They did say that a good quality sommelier could get a visa coming.
Well, they've done it by having a sum of money, which is your annual salary,
your minimum salary.
You know, and it's caught between trying to keep people out and trying to get skills that are needed in.
Yes,
they'll never achieve it that way, but it's a start, I suppose.
Yeah. So one of the advantages of being very good at food and beverages, you can move internationally around. And I suppose also it's like the old ski instructor. You know, a ski instructor has a winter season here, and then they can do a winter season somewhere else if they want to, another part of the world.
Exactly.
And same with an F&B manager, perhaps?
Yeah. Well, when I started in the restaurant business, it was a very dictatorial kind of atmosphere. For example, a young sous chef would come to the management 4 weeks before Christmas and say, I'm really sorry, but I'm handing in my notice. And the manager would say, well, what are you going to do? And they say, well, I'm going to go to Australia to work for the winter. And the response would be, don't ever darken our doors again. You're leaving us in the proverbial for Christmas. And I changed all that. The response became, well, I hope you enjoy it. Have a great time. Keep in touch. And when you come back, come and see us. And it was a completely different approach, because we predicted the huge shortage there would be in this industry.
Yeah.
And there's been a gastronomic revolution in London.
Yes.
In the last 40 years. As I say, you know, there wasn't anywhere to go to. And if there was, it was too expensive, not very pleasant. And you had to dress up. Whereas today, you've got every cuisine from any part of the world at all price levels. And people work very, very hard to make a success of it. But we still have a high failure rate because there's not enough know-how about how to run a business as opposed to how to be a chef or how to be a sommelier. You need all-round business skills. If I could wave a wand, I would have a hospitality business school where people could go to and learn about these things, and they'd be far, far better at running a business than they are now.
Going back to career paths, if I'm in a hotel and I'm senior food and beverage manager and I'm in charge of all that, would they ever go into a senior role running the hotel, or do you need to come from the accommodation side for a hotel? And similarly, I can see how in a restaurant, a food and beverage manager can become the runner of a restaurant. That seems like a nice progression. But in a hotel, hotels are very big. And some of the big chains must have very good training because they're constantly bringing people through.
Well, I'm not a hotelier, but I would guess that the food and beverage manager would not move straight into a position of running the hotel.
Yes.
He would have to move, if that's what he wanted to do, he would have to move sideways.
Yes.
Into the accommodation side, because you've got housekeeping, you've got cleaning, you've got a whole load of services that are complex, marketing, deals with travel agents and stuff. But if he wanted to do that, I'm sure that hotel companies encourage it.
And just to finish up, earlier you mentioned some restaurants are quite good for training and others aren't. Can you give us some recommendations to someone who's thinking about entering the food and beverage industry, either in London or in the UK?
For sure, for sure. In London, you know, there are some really wonderful shining lights.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Caravan Restaurants, you've got Granger & Company, you've got the River Cafe. You've got Jeremy King Restaurants, Gordon Ramsay. These are groups of know-how and excellence, which we should be very proud of. And they are very, very keen on developing young people. And some of them, perhaps all of them, will be taking advantage of this new Level 4 F&B Management Development Program.
All right, then. I think we'll wrap it up there, Neville.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Chris. Thank you. Nice to talk with you.